That's right.
Hey, good morning. Ooh, now my shirt looks like all inky. Anyway, hey, good morning. It's 5 a.m. Mr. Scrum. Hope you're doing well. It's about 7:32 a.m. and this is our 357th episode. I've been doing taxes since 4 a.m. this morning to get them done today here in the States. I think I got it all done. I need one number left and hopefully I'll get it. Otherwise, I'll just take it off it. We'll see. Anyway, wish me luck. So today is Tuesday. It's another one of those days. I just heard Australia went on lockdown again, or Melbourne, Australia. Which, not good. But everybody's having fun. I guess it's their winter, so we're going to see how this all goes. Hopefully they do well, and I wish them all the best of luck on this COVID adventure that we are round two. Anyway, so what are we talking about today? Well, when we talk about Agile Scrum in a practical and tactical way is what we do on this show. And getting done effectively and having fun and getting home, right? So I've got two things I want to talk about today. One, I want to talk about daily Scrum. And it's not always the answer. It's funny how everybody wants to say daily Scrum is the answer, and it's not always true. And then bug fixing, maybe the perfect way of introducing TDD, test-driven development, okay? All right, so daily Scrum. You know, I personally, I love daily Scrum. I love having a talk. Good morning, Taz. How are you? Two things about daily Scrum that if you don't have them, it's basically a waste of time. New people into Scrum are like, we need to do daily Scrum and it's got to be 15 minutes and we always need to have it and we have to have it every day or we don't have Scrum. Well, here's the thought. Two things you need to have daily Scrum to have any value, because you got to look at the three questions they ask. One, there has to be a plan for the sprint. Like, is there a goal to be reached in the sprint? If there's no goal in the sprint to reach, then why are you having a daily Scrum? There's nothing to report out because there's no direction. It's all intertwined with everything else, and people don't get that. You have a sprint goal. What you report on every day kind of relates to the sprint goal. What you get done relates to the sprint goal, has a mission. They're all set together to remind everybody what the sprint goal is. And the other thing is getting stuff done. I think I may have talked about this before, but I had one team, the way the organization set up, they were spending 25% on the time on the project. Well, if you're spending 25% time on the project, how much work are you really getting done? Does it make sense to have a daily Scrum? No. If you're only doing enough work for, like, if you're like doing 8 hours over 5 days, 8 hours worth of labor towards whatever job you're on, do you need to do a daily Scrum every day? No. Because it doesn't help. Because if you're not getting anything done, there's nothing to report out on. What are you going to say? Well, I did an hour's worth of work and that was about it. Today I did it. I'm going to do another hour's worth of work tomorrow. You could say, hey, I got this done. But I think you could do that in a Slack conversation or email. Said, hey, I had this task. I got the task done. So Joe, you can, or Jane, you can take it on and go to the next thing. You don't need a daily Scrum to do that. Okay. Now, once you start getting more work done and working on a normal pace, then you do a daily Scrum. So again, daily Scrum is not the answer to everything. I know a lot of new Scrum Masters will say that, oh, we need to do daily Scrum because that'll fix the world. Well, it's all interrelated to everything else. And also, if they're not doing any work, there's nothing to meet on. So why are you having a meeting? And that's the lean part of it, right? Don't meet on stuff if you're not getting anything done. It's a waste. It's Buddha, right? All right. So that was the first one. And then the second one, this is going to be a short show. Bug fixes. And this is, somebody might know about this one. Having to talk about bug fixes. And so I was teaching, I was doing a class session for my expert certification in IC Agile for coaching. And we're teaching, and we're doing some, do a 10-minute class session. You run through, you do the class. kind of disagree with some of the things. But anyway, how do you learn from the back of the room? What's the best way to learn something? Is it to sit in front of a PowerPoint slide presentation and have someone teach you about it? There's some to it. You want to give some foundation to it, some basics to get going, some of the ideas. But here I got a concept. Let's say your organization's resistant to learning how to do test-driven development. They're like, I don't have time. I don't want to do it. Well, I go, you can say, well, are we fixing bugs? And they'll be like, sure, we're fixing bugs. We fix bugs all the time. Okay. How do you know you fixed the bug? Well, we have a test script we run. And you run the test script, and if the test script passes, then we know we fixed the bug. Really? You do that a lot? Yeah, we do that a lot. So now in the one part that's missing from a development perspective, and we're going to talk about it, but in essence, when you have a bug, you already have a test script, so you know what you're testing for, so you're writing code to fix the bug. Sound familiar? It's test-driven development. So the idea is that you have a test script, you're writing code from which to fix the bug. The idea behind test-driven development is you write the test script first, you run it, you're going to fail, then you write the code to fix it so it passes the script. That's how it works. So if you have a lot of teams working now, you're going to have to modify it slightly for being test-driven development, because when you write your original code, but it's the same idea behind bug fixing. If you know what your outcome you want to have, you write a test script to look for it. If you want the screen to turn purple, you write a test script says, is the screen purple? Problem is the screen right now is blue. So it's going to fail the test because it's not purple. When you write the code to change to purple, it will pass the test. That's a very simplified version of test-driven development. And the idea is that you do it more at the unit test level and work your way up. But in essence, if they really harp on not doing test-driven development because they don't understand, nor do they don't want to go through training, and you want to, but once you get them thinking about it, said, oh, yeah, that sounds like something we do all the time. Then you go in and start giving some classes, give them some training, provide them some additional materials on test-driven development, how it might apply to where you work. So it's just a back way of getting into test-driven development. You can use bugs. Fixing bugs is a classic example of test-driven development. You have a bug. You already have a test script because it failed, right? But one of the improvements you can do is automate that process. So that's what I have today. Nothing more than that. And I know yesterday we had some conversation about Scrum Masters and performance. So just to cover that a little bit, since I got a little bit of time, because if I don't go over the 10-minute mark, then YouTube tries to put all these ads in the middle of in the show. So if I go over 10 minutes, I could tell it, do not put an ad in the middle of the program. See, you learn this by doing. It's kind of what I'm doing. Learning everything by doing. Learning how the system works. So Scrum Masters blamed for team not meeting their predictions, the predictability, right? We talked about that yesterday, and that was something we had to talk about, right? So predictability, Scrum Master getting blamed. And I went into the thing. Yeah, I said it is part of the Scrum Master's job to help the team understand their predictability, help them become better at predicting what they want to do. Can the Scrum Master be blamed for the team not meeting that? Yes, if the Scrum Master doesn't do their job where they share what the future is, what the past was, provide that empirical data, because that's part of what a Scrum Master does. Team's not going to do that. It would be great if a team was self-motivated and they watched our data, but that's why you hire a Scrum Master. Scrum Master looks at all that stuff, provides all that data flow, the workflow information, and provides that to a team. That's your servant leadership. We're here. I'm giving you the information and got that done for you so you can see how you're predicting. So then you can use that information to figure out what you want to do next. Now, if you warn the team about it a couple of times, which I've been in that situation, at some point in time, you have to tell the team, stop it. I actually yelled at some people one time. And they're like, why did you yell at us? Because you've been doing it for four sprints. You've been overcommitting for four sprints. If you do it anymore, I'm going to smack you. Well, I didn't say that. But it looks terrible. And you're telling where I had the one customer, and I think we talked about way earlier, I had a customer who was doing a bad job of saying how much he thinks the team can do versus the team saying how much they think they could do. Or the team was just saying, yeah, we can do it. No, yeah, we can do it. We can do it. And they couldn't do it. They were overcommitted. They were blocked a million ways. And then once he stopped it after I yelled at them and told you are screwing up and this is not good, they fixed it and they were spot on. So, because they looked at the data and said, what the previous sprint said we could do, fine. You fix all these blockers and you can do more, then it'll start growing. But don't overestimate. So that's why I believe Scrum Master should get yelled at it, because there was a Scrum Master room. I was the Agile coach and I had told Scrum Master and product owner, stop it, right? So sometimes you have to do that. That's your job. Anyway, so now we're at the 11-minute mark. Now I can hang up. Nothing new. Taz, you got anything you need that you want to bring up at the show or anything that can help out with this morning? I don't know. She's on. She commented on the side. Give it a second. Hey, if you like the show, ring the little bell. Got the ideas. And again, I wish everybody the best on tax day here in the States. I hope you get your stuff done. I'm working on mine, and I hope you have an awesome day. Take care. And
Bye.
you want to say bye? Put the scissors down. He's got scissors. They can't see Ed. Say hi.
Bye.
All right, Eddie's up. Time for camp. All right, take care. Bye. Oh, great stuff. Have a great day. Okay, thanks, Taz. Take care. And